Well, again, happy Memorial Day. You know, it's a day we set aside to remember those who've fought battles for our nation. And, you know, many have sacrificed their lives in doing so. And so we take that day to remember their example to us that, you know, there's battles worth fighting and things worth standing for. But, you know, that's in the natural, but in the spiritual, even more, that we are called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are called to stand, and having done all, to stand. And, you know, we're to put on the armor of God. And as we talked about last time, that's the point of connection, that, you know, we're to be connected to the two armies of God. And, you know, the two armies, one is the army of heaven, that when the army of heaven goes, we go, and that we're aligned with them. Of course, the second army is us. We are to be a part of the army of the saints of God. We're to be united together, and that those two armies together will come against the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand against them. And we're bringing light into darkness. And thank God the light always defeats the darkness. No matter how small the light, it always wins. So we're always on the winning side. Amen. And so last time we looked at the first two pieces of armor. We looked at the belt of truth. And, you know, when God's truth is placed into our core, it will uphold us. It will give us strength in the journey, strength to fight the battles that we face. And then the breastplate of righteousness. And it's the thought of God's righteousness, which is doing what's right in his sight, is that enables us to guard our heart. It's a covering over us because, as it says in Proverbs, from our heart are the issues of life. In fact, I actually like what the ESV says in that verse. That's Proverbs 4:23, where it says, keep, or the Hebrew word is guard. So keep or guard your heart with all vigilance. But then notice this, from it flow the springs of life. That says it in a little bit different way than other translations. I actually think that's more accurate to the original Hebrew because it gives the idea of an outflow. Why are we to guard our heart? Because it's like a spring of water flowing out. And, you know, what you do is you guard the source. So no one can put something in the source. They can't put some contaminant, right? That they can't add something bitter to make the water taste bitter, or something poisonous, because that just flows out and other people drink it. But the Lord wants to guard the source, which is in our hearts, because that's what gives life. That's what springs out. And so he wants to cover us with his righteousness. And, you know, so we can do what's right in God's sight, and what flows from us will be a good drink that others can partake of. But then the third piece of armor, that's what we want to look at this morning. The third piece of armor is found in Ephesians 6 and verse 15. And it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the shoes of peace is basically what that's saying. And, you know, of course, the word that's most used for peace that we associate it with, that the Israelites would have used, is shalom. And that's used even today. They still say that. If they say that for hello and goodbye, right, is shalom. And, you know, what's interesting is when you look at how that's used and the meaning of it, it actually means much more than just peace or the absence of strife. It also means the fullness of the blessing of God. It means peace and prosperity, a good life. A good life be upon you. And so, you know, it's the peace and prosperity of God being upon us. And of course, not just natural prosperity, because that kind of equates to just having lots of stuff, right? Just getting stuff, prosperity in life. But that has no relation to the peace of God, because this natural stuff we get has no relation to the kingdom of God. Really, what it's speaking of, it's a prosperity of well-being, or being blessed with the benefits of being a son and daughter of the living God. And so it's a life of blessing. It's a life of deliverance. It's a pathway that grows brighter and brighter under the perfect day. It's a peace that comes from being a little sheep in the flock of our good shepherd. And those sheep can just be at perfect peace. Why? Because the shepherd is watching over them and they're preserved. And there's a wonderful rest, a peace at being one of the sheep in the flock of the good shepherd. And there's times when wolves come around, you get a little nervous when you see them, but then you look up at the big shepherd and he's there with his rod to protect and beat those wolves off, even if they're in sheep's clothing. You know, he knows, he can spot them. But the key is to be the sheep that's listening to the voice of the shepherd. When the shepherd says, come on, sheep, let's gather in, gather close, we do that. We're not off far away saying, oh, I'll be okay. Those are the sheep that get into trouble. But that's that key. That's the peace. He wants to cause us to enter into, to be upon us. And there's the idea here that it's tied to our feet, right? The peace being upon our feet. And it's the thought that wherever we go, God wants us to be bearers of the fruit of the gospel. And one of the main fruits of the gospel is peace. You know, the gospel is not a message of just escaping judgment, but it's a promise of experiencing redemption and what's broken being made whole. And then going forward in a journey of peace, just like a shepherd leads his flock on a journey. And, you know, you remember the story of Jacob and Esau when Jacob came back and Esau said, why don't you come on with us? And Jacob said, no, I have to walk slowly and carefully with the little lambs to make sure I don't tire them out. And Sarah and I were just talking about this. And, you know, he had a shepherd's heart. He's like, no, I'm going to lead them on a journey, but I'm leading them in a way they can walk in peace, you know, not overdoing it. They might die if we went too fast. And so I'm a shepherd that's going to take care of my sheep and lead them on a peaceful journey to the land of their inheritance. And that's what the Lord wants to do. Lead us into a journey of peace where we go forward. Now, it's kind of tied to the thought of the soldier. And, you know, back in the day of the Apostle Paul, when he's talking about the armor and your feet being shod or, you know, putting on shoes, the Roman soldiers of that day were leather sandals, and they were pretty rugged because the, you know, soldiers had to march, they had to climb, they had to do all sorts of stuff, and they had to walk in formation many miles. But there's the idea that the gospel of peace makes us ready for the road we have to travel, and that in order to make that journey, we have to enter in to the peace of God and walk in the way of peace. Of course, there's the two aspects. We have peace with God, and, you know, really that's solved in the previous one of righteousness, where we do what's right. When we do what's right in God's sight, that prepares the way. In fact, that's the progression, you know, that righteousness leads to peace. And that's seen in James 3:18. James 3:18 says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Right? And so peace is like the fruit of righteousness. And so we can be at peace with God, but then the peace of God, God wants to cause to come upon us, to just cover us. Oh, so that we can walk like that sheep walking with the flock, being led by the good shepherd on a journey of peace into something new. And that's what the Lord wants to do, you know, but when things aren't right, what happens? Our peace can be stolen. And it can be stolen kind of two ways. Maybe it's because we're not right. There's something that comes in, you know, we're falling short in an area, and that can steal our peace because we're not at peace with God. And so righteousness lines us back up when we say, Lord, cleanse me, bring me back in to that place of doing what's right in your sight. But then, you know, there's another way is sometimes trouble and turmoil. And, you know, sheep can be animals that are very sensitive to environment, sensitive to to trouble. And a lot of us have animals, and sometimes those animals are troubled by our environment. In fact, maybe not for Memorial Day, but definitely the 4th of July, some of our animals get troubled by the environment, right? And that's because of fireworks. And they're going off, and our animals are scurrying. One of our cats usually just beelines it for the bed. And he's under the bed. We have another one that stays out a little bit, but so if it gets too loud, they're both under there. Right? And so the environment can trouble them, and that can cause peace to flee. But, you know, God wants us to enter into a peace that surpasses what we see, our perception, our understanding, our comprehension, a peace that can just cover that. So Philippians 4:7, it says, the peace of God that surpasses our understanding. And, you know, I think that we can take that beyond just our thinking, but it can be what we see, what we're experiencing, what we understand to that point. And he can take us into something beyond, a peace that just, hey, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know what the answer is, but yet there's a peace that I can be with Jesus, even though the storm is raging. Now, one of the best illustrations of that was in the Gospels. One in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and it's in the other Gospels too, but where Jesus is in the boat with his disciples and he's taking a nap. He's at peace. And the storm rises up, and the disciples, they might have had peace before, but when the storm came, their peace kind of fled. It jumped out of the boat, and there they are. They're nervous, and they're seasoned fishermen. They've seen some storms, but this storm must have been a doozy. And, you know, they lost their peace. But yet Mark says Jesus was just in that boat, just resting. His head was on a pillow. He was sleeping. He was probably exhausted after a long day of ministering, but he had peace. And that's what he could rest, because he had perfect peace in the plan of his Father. He was not going to die on that boat. That was a certainty. Now, he knew his place, that he had to give up his life, and it was the cross, but it was not that boat. And he could rest in perfect peace. Now, we might not have perfect knowledge of that, you know, we're not going to die. In fact, I remember a story of someone who was on an airplane, and they just were a nervous flyer, and they hit turbulence, and all of a sudden, whoa, you know, and it's going, and it got so bad that in their spirit, this person said, Lord, is this it? Am I going to die? And the Lord spoke to them, you're not going to die. And all of a sudden, that did something, because, I mean, it still affected them. They're still like, oh, I don't like this, but I'm not going to die. And they could enter into peace, into rest. Now, God might not always speak that to us. You're not going to die, but yet that there's a peace that can surpass the situation we're in when we place ourselves in the good and capable hands of our shepherd. The one who can care for us, the one who will take care of us, who will bring us out onto the other side once this situation does the work in us, or that's accomplished. Once the will of God is done in this current situation we're in, he's going to bring us out into a wealthy, a wide place, a prosperous place. And it's his peace that carries us through. Now, what causes us to develop peace? You know, we can read this. Let's look at this, Isaiah 26:3. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him. You'll plant him in perfect peace. Now, in the English, we have two words, perfect peace, but that's because it's the same word used twice, and they thought, well, it's almost like saying it doesn't make sense in English to say, you will keep him in peace. So we said perfect peace, but that's literally, it's the same words. It's shalom, shalom. Maybe you could say peace upon peace. And so the Lord's going to take us through situations. Maybe we had a certain level of peace, but, you know, we need a new level to make it in this situation. So we cry out, oh God, Let your peace reign. Let it cover me. And you know, Lord, I'm going to look to you. I trust in you. And it says, he keeps them in peace upon peace. He wants to add to our peace in each situation. And of course, the real battle is in the mind, right? And that's why it says, his mind stayed, holding on, like a kind of like a death grip. Lord, no, my mind's upon you. I'm not going to give place to all the thoughts coming in, but Lord, my mind is fixed upon you. You know, when we learn to do that, especially in the midst of storms, we can be at rest in the boat. When others are panicking, we can be at peace. Peace upon peace. Now, I wanted to just take the last minutes here and look at one more. Let's see if we can fit one more in. One more piece of armor. And the next one is the shield of faith. And this one's in Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Right, so verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so, you know, the primary weapon the enemy wants to attack us with is his darts, his little arrows, right, his little things that try and stick into us and cause trouble, right? And little things that try and prick our mind and our hearts. And he's trying to target our weak areas, like little chinks in our armor, you could say. But the defense against his darts is to have a good shield, that because they just hit that shield and bounce right off, or they're deflected and go somewhere else. You know, and if the darts start coming, we need to have our shield in place, and we can crouch behind that. Or if you're with, you know, a company of other soldiers, you can do where they used to have that technique where they would lock their shields together. It was like a wall of shields, you know, that because they were together. And, you know, it's a barrier against the darts of the enemy. Now, something else that's interesting when you study the history of the soldiers back in the day is Paul uses a word that's probably referring to the shields that the Greeks and the Romans had. It was called theros. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Theros. But basically, it was developed by the Greeks, and then it was heavily used by the Romans. And it wasn't this like little round shield or something like that that you use to deflect swords. It was a huge shield. It was large and oval. It was almost like a door, like a small door. And you could get behind that and crouch, and they could shoot arrows all day long, and it would just hopefully not go through, but, you know, bounce off. Or it was a really big shield. But, you know, that speaks to us that above all, we are to have this shield. And, you know, I don't think it's the idea that it's more important than everything else, but it's the idea that it is to cover us. It is to cover all of us. It will be a shield. It will be a protection for all of us against the darts of the enemy. Our whole being, our mind, our emotions, our body, our calling, our family, right? Is we need the shield of faith. And, you know, we've heard in previous messages of how we're to lift up the banner of faith. But when the darts are flying, you need the shield of faith to be a covering, or to be like a wall between us and the enemy. And, you know, those darts come, and often, you know, the enemy would shoot flaming arrows. They were trying to set things on fire, you know, maybe hit certain things and cause things to catch on fire, because that causes even more chaos. And, you know, the enemy is trying to shoot its darts of doubt, of worry, concern, fear, all those things. And it kind of is like a little fire. And it's a little thing, but if it starts setting us on fire, and all of a sudden it gets raging. But that shield is there for our protection. And so we're to fight against those darts. You know, like Paul said, 1 Timothy 6:12, we're to fight the good fight of faith. And, you know, faith is one of the greatest assets in our arsenal to combat those fiery darts of the enemy, you know, of doubt, of fear, and so forth. And, you know, one of the first battles that we see in Scripture was in the garden, that we can understand this. Remember when Eve was walking and the serpent came and then started talking to her, and he was called more cunning or crafty than any beast of the field. And the serpent began its attack with this, with a little dart. Did God really say you shouldn't eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge? You know, did he really say that? He didn't mean that, actually. And, you know, it was the first attack of doubt, and it was an effective weapon because she didn't have a shield, right? At least she didn't lift it up. She could have said, yes, he really did say that, but she didn't. And all of a sudden that got into her, and it started a fire, and it spread to Adam. And before you know it, they were out of the garden because that dart hit them. And so it's so important that we lift up the shield. In fact, that Satan did the exact same thing to Jesus. You know, Adam and Eve were tested and failed, and Jesus came in the exact same respect. He came as a man without sin, just like Adam and Eve were a man and woman without sin. They failed their test because they didn't lift up the shield of faith. But Jesus came, and how did he defeat Satan when all those temptations? He lifted up the shield and said, "It is written." In fact, that's another way of saying, yes, God said. God said this. That's the shield. And it's the sword at the same time. Defeated Satan. And, you know, we could refer to Paul's words in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so faith is to come into our hearts. It's to be a substance. It's something we can hold on to. And, you know, it's like a shield. Just like, you know, faith is to be a substance. It's to protect us. It's to defend us, to keep us, and preserve us. And it's even to produce good fruit in our lives. It will help us in our time of need, right? When we need a touch from God. And there's a story, I know Pastor Bailey shared this. It's in a lot of his books, but there's that lady who had a sickness. In fact, I think it was like a goiter or something on her face. And the Lord said, "You are healed. I've released faith to heal you." Now, it didn't go away. It was still there. But she felt that as a substance. And she said, "God spoke to me. I'm healed. He gave me that word of faith." But they said, "But you're not healed. I still see it there." It's like, "Nope, God spoke. I'm healed." And they said, "Look in the mirror, it's still there." And she said, "The mirror is a liar. God gave me faith." And then one day, they looked at her, "You're healed." And she said, "Yes, I know. God gave me the word of faith. The mirror is now telling the truth." You know, but she had that. She received that word. And that was her shield of faith against all those people saying, "Oh, you're not healed." Like, "No, God has given me what will produce my healing." And that helped her in that little short period of time when faith was still producing the miracle. You know, people were saying, "You're not healed." And oh, she had a shield of faith that those words just bounced off. And so God wants to give us that shield of faith. And, you know, there was a really neat aspect that about the shields is that the Romans would sometimes put oil on their shields, and what that would make them kind of slick, you know, that the weapons would kind of slide off it, be deflected. And, you know, that's a really neat thought, that the power of the Spirit and his anointing will cover us. And it just causes those enemies to just be they try and hit us with the darts or the sword, and it just bounces off. And just, it's just like so slick, it just, whoop, it's not going to touch me. And, you know, by the anointing, Jesus will break the yoke. He'll break the effect of the enemy. It can't stay, it can't land. And so we want the anointing of the Spirit. And just in closing, you know, we can relate the shield back to the whole purpose of the armor. And what's the whole purpose of the armor? Paul said, having done all, to stand. And, you know, the shield of faith, in one sense, it doesn't stop the battle, right? It doesn't prevent the darts from flying, does it? Right? If you hold up the shield, the enemy is not going to go, oh no, they have a shield. I might as well stop. No, they still shoot, but because you have that shield, you can stand. You can endure. And, you know, sometimes we might think, well, if I had faith, then I wouldn't struggle. There wouldn't be a battle. Or, you know, if I had faith, I wouldn't feel pressure. I wouldn't feel the darts attacking me. But, you know, Paul did not say if the shield of faith will remove all the darts from being, you know, stop them from being shot at you. But he did say it would quench them. It would quench them. In fact, let's read that again in Ephesians 6 and verse 16. It says, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That word quench, it means to extinguish, suppress, or put out. Now that kind of reminds you of a fire extinguisher, doesn't it? You know, that it even takes it beyond the metaphor of a shield, because it's a shield that's also a fire extinguisher. I think that's a really neat thought. You know, sometimes an arrow can bounce off and maybe you still feel the effects. Maybe it's something starting in your heart and it's like, oh, nope. I'm going to lift up the shield of faith. I just need to point it at it and extinguish that by faith. You know, that if something starts to rise up, no, the shield of faith is going to take care of that. It will quench all of the fiery darts so that we can stand. Even in the midst of the storm, when, you know, all those arrows left, right, and center are being shot at me, nope, I'm just going to stand behind the wall of the shield of faith. And the Lord wants to be that for us each day. You know, all day long, we can look to him as we lift him up. In fact, there's, you know, one last verse here, Psalm 18 and verse 30. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And actually, I love that thought. You know, it's from Ephesians. We know we've been given a shield of faith to protect us. But what exactly is our shield? It's the Lord himself. Right? He is our shield. And so in reality, just lifting up the Lord in our lives, in our battles, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm looking to you. He becomes our shield, our fire extinguishing shield, as we look to him. And so, you know, knowing these things, let's gird ourselves with his armor. And, you know, David, you remember when he was going out against Goliath and he was given Saul's armor and he said, you know, I haven't proven this. I haven't tested it. I don't know if this is effective or reliable, if I'll be able to use this against Goliath. Well, the Lord's armor has been tested. It's been proven. It's effective. And so let's gird ourselves. Let's cover ourselves with his armor. Let's put on and walk in the gospel of peace and fix our mind upon the Lord, knowing that he's going to give us the double. Shalom, shalom, right? That's because we have 2 feet. We need the double to walk in it. He wants to cover us with perfect peace that surpasses whatever we're going through, so that we can trust in him. But that means we have to look to the shepherd. We have to respond to him and follow him as he's leading us to safety. And he'll give us perfect peace. And then we need to take up the shield and lift it like a banner, because that will be our protection. It'll be a wall to block those fiery darts. And then it'll even quench anything that gets through as we look to him, because he is our shield. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you've given us all that we need to fight our battles, Lord, to walk with you, and even just to stand in the evil day. Lord, of all the difficulties going on around us, Lord, we just rejoice, Lord, that you've given us all that we need. And so, Lord, we're looking to you. Lord, that you would even give us a new portion, Lord, of the your armor and your protection, Lord, for to put on your peace and to walk in your peace. Lord, even give us that double portion of your peace, Lord, that passes understanding, that we can walk in it and go forth, that we'll be sheep following our good shepherd in perfect peace. Oh, Lord, a fresh portion of your peace today, Lord, we ask. And Lord, that you would be a shield for us. Lord, there's many darts going around. And Lord, we're just looking to you, that you would just cover us, that you would extinguish those darts. Lord, that you would bring rest and refreshing, Lord, from all the darts of the enemy. We look to the one who is able to save and to deliver. We look to you because you are our shield. Lord, would you do a fresh work in our hearts today? We just love you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, you're our portion forever. You're our protection. Oh, you're our everything. And so, Lord, do that work in us, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.